cliffcentral.com.
Good morning, it's Friday. Gareth is, he's in traffic. So he just sent a picture right now. He says the N1 is a car park, and that is how he gets to work on the N1. But you don't have Gareth, but you've got Amanda.
Good morning, happy Friday.
Yes, you too, to you too, Amanda. We've got Sia Sangweni Finn.
Yay, Sia Sangweni.
Sorry, Sia.
We're divorced now.
Are you divorced now? My buddy Malloy is back as well.
Hello.
And Gord Laws.
Yeah, what it is.
Jeepers, I mean, I could go home after that. That's just about it.
Yeah. Well, let's pack it up then.
I mean, you guys have to do a lot. I might have to go home anyway. In my rush, so I was getting ready, as I do, because I do everything in a certain sort of system, I guess, like anyone else. And then I get a message from Gareth saying, please start the show, I've just woken up. So I'm like, oh, crap. So I forgot my charger at home for my laptop. So I've got about, I'm literally been 26% right now.
Oh, dear.
Dude, you know, I got a spare one. You can borrow it.
And you know, I'm nothing without my computer. I'm that one-dimensional that unless I've got this, I'm useless.
This is why I'm concerned for you. You can take mine.
I've got like the old Mac, though.
Yeah, you see, this is where Apple are so corrupt in their ways.
That's when you start sighing and then your good gestures now.
Yeah.
And the one person who does have the same charger as me is
Gareth.
No.
Brother Lou.
Brother Lou, where are you?
Brother.
Yeah, so everyone's got troubles, hey? But hey, don't worry about it. Whatever your trouble may be, it's Friday, so that means that hopefully the weekend is here for you to just kind of not be troubled.
So if we do call off the show and decide to start the Joel, is it acceptable to start partying now?
Yes, absolutely.
It's after six. Yeah, it's basically the afternoon.
The world. It's
absolutely.
The afternoon.
Yeah.
That's good. It's a lovely idea, but what have we got to party with, though? I mean, lovely company aside, I mean, what have we got?
You know what? We might have to wait an hour or so. What time do the liquor stores open? Because there's one around the corner from us.
Yeah, in like 8 at best, though. Huh?
But that's a thing that I've never understood, is why liquor stores have got these bizarre operating hours. Okay, sure, you don't need one at 6 a.m., fair enough. But you don't often need one at 6 a.m.
Yes, there we go.
Sorry. But, you know, like you're allowed to buy, you can take your bucky and fill it with booze on Saturday at 8 p.m. or whatever the time is that they close, but and drink it all day and all night.
Yeah.
But you can't go purchase it like after 8 or on a Sunday until I think 3. Like, but why? The nightclubs can't sell. You can go to a restaurant and bar and get as drunk as you want on a Sunday night.
I think the same thing every time I go shopping on Sunday. I think it's a Jesus law, so you can't get away from that.
Sort of something ethical somewhere.
Yeah, because you can't drink. You're going. Oh, I couldn't buy it today. I'm gonna stop drinking wine right now. Amanda, you no doubt have a theory about this.
But I was just about to say, like you guys said, there's no way you could go now to actually get booze. But you could. You could go to Andicio. Andicio sells alcohol to you,
Amanda. This is why you are critical.
See, Amanda,
before
you came along, conversations used to just end.
Yeah.
Like we'd have good momentum, and then they would just stop. And now you have this other sort of like element,
whole another angle.
So yes, because they operate 24 hours, but then on a Sunday, do they?
On a Sunday
as well. So they don't get they don't believe in that whole Jesus law thing that you have to stop selling alcohol at three.
I don't think, I think theoretically they shouldn't. I think it's kind of against the rules. But like, I've had the experience where on a Sunday evening at a friend and having a few quiet drinks and the drinks ran out and then placing an order with them for like 12 beers or whatever. And they were like, no, you also have to order a pizza. So like we shared this cheapest possible pizza.
Which is kind of smart too, because you should be eating if you're drinking.
Yeah. But and also, know, they shouldn't be. They're not an alcohol delivery service. It's just an additional feature if you're ordering food.
Yeah.
But there are also little loopholes as well. So, case in point, like... I know this isn't... Okay. No.
Bring it.
I think this is above board, right? If you go to a restaurant, you can, like, order a bottle of wine on a Sunday night. And the only condition you can leave with it is if, technically, you just open it in the restaurant. Like, that's a technicality.
Like, that's still illegal, but it's a try. They're trying, though.
Yeah. Well, what's cool as well in Cape Town is they've got New York Slice. There's two of them. There's one in on Clove Street, and there's one in Seapoint. And they're, like, not quite 24 hours, but they're open till like, 2 or 3. And they let you take away in a big brown bag.
So if you know your areas,
right, because I'm, like, Joburg through and through, but I did spend 3 years – just spend 3.5 years exiled there. And there were a few learnings. So, like, everybody, like Amanda with her tips and tricks, everybody's got their little, like, technique for getting booze.
They do also have an app called Bottles.
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
But don't they also run the same hours as well?
Yeah, they're not 24 hours, but on a Sunday, though, they will still deliver to you after 3. I think they go up to 10 p.m.
On a Sunday?
I think so, yes.
Ooh. Do they do 6:09:09 on a Friday morning?
But the thing about
pushing it a bit.
But like the thing with these things, and because we live in a free market, you get the phone number of whoever delivers these things and goes, look, but I might need you at hours different to what your boss has you.
Yeah.
And he'll probably be like, okay, let's give us some thoughts, make a plan. Because people in South Africa are very industrious like that. But that whole bottle service is quite cool. But the whole thing about having to order token amounts of food, let's just be open with it and call it the booze pickup sub or whatever.
Surcharge, yeah.
And it's like this 60 rand like cheese sandwich that they sort of just throw together for you.
Yeah, the mandatory technicality sandwich.
Cost a company 8.70 rand.
Yeah. But you buy it for 60 rand.
You could mark that thing right up, you know. It would be interesting from somebody who's like more business savvy than me to see strategically whether marking it up ridiculously because people are forced to buy it is a better tactic than reducing the price of the barrier to entry lower so that more people are able to order a semi-legal late-night booze. Mm.
Yeah, that's such a very good point. I would go with the latter because you don't want disgruntled customers because your grudge purchase leads to better planning.
I'll tell you, in my experience – there have been times where Oaks will happily buy a 70 rand ham sandwich just to be able to order a couple of bottles of booze.
It's essential.
Of course, binge drinking being harmful to your health and something we would never, ever encourage.
Clint from the Vol says the Vol has drive-through liquor stores.
That's
like next level.
Yeah, you see.
There's one in Krugersdorp.
I'm pretty sure she's been there.
Drive-through liquor
store. So what happens? Is it very much like a fast food place? There's like a little window and you basically place an order?
Yeah, so you place your order. So you'll say like, oh, I want like a six-pack of Red Squares or whatever. And then you go through the next window and you pay. And then they actually walk out and give it to you.
Now, is there a minimum that you are allowed to buy? So if you drove past there and say, oh, I'd like 2 Savannahs, please. Or do they force you to buy it in the six pack?
No, they did sell singles there, yeah.
Okay.
No, they are.
If you're buying a single on a drive through, there's a good chance you're going to be drinking that while you're driving. Oh, yeah. That's probably the biggest disaster.
That's a really good point, yeah.
So, quite obviously,
I'm going to drive out, get a beer, and drive back, and then enjoy it by the fireplace.
That's all I just needed.
But I don't understand how people get by living in like Saudi Arabia, you know, because you get people who live like, they do 3-4 year contracts or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can see why they eventually start brewing their own booze. Obviously, you get, it's illegal, you get arrested in Saudi Arabia, your life could basically end. But, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that we do, and we're normally quite sensible people.
I've never been that thirsty.
When there's no booze, right? And I, look, I doubt there's bars or nightclubs also when you're working out there, right?
Dude, I don't know about Saudi Arabia specifically, but I know in the Emirates, like, friends of mine have done the Dubai thing, my brother's done it, and you can get booze, and you are allowed to drink it, but there's, like, designated areas. You've got to be, like, in your own place.
Cool. Abu Dhabi's great. And clubs and
stuff. Oh, so Saudi Arabia is, like, more hardcore.
It's just Saudi Arabia. Basically, some of the Emirates, like, literally, like, two or three. I think, I'm not sure how many there are, but they're mostly kind of cool. Go to a hotel, do whatever you want. Mm. And I think you need a license for home consumption. But it's not like getting a TV license or anything like that. You actually get it and it's useful. But then if you're
living, what you did there.
You're living in Saudi Arabia. I mean, I heard a story about this guy, and people who go there are really smart, okay, because they're going there for a specialized skill. So if someone wants to just make their own vodka, there's a good chance they're going to do it because they know how to do it.
But that's potentially fatal, dude. Like, yes. I've tried friends' home-brewed beers and some Mampur and whatever, and it's like you do a cursory taste where you like get as little as you physically can into your mouth and then like try not to have a facial spasm or a fatal stroke and then give it back and say well done. Continue with your main career.
I always tell the story about how back when I was in varsity, because I was studying medical microbiology and stuff like that, about how the guys would steal the 100% ethanol to take back to Rez to brew their own stuff. I mean, that was just some dumb. 100%
ethanol
stuff.
Will hurt you badly.
Dude, like, that's ridiculous. Somebody could have very easily died, but that's what they would do. They would steal the ethanol from the laboratories, they'd take it back to Rez, and then they'd start brewing their own stuff.
Or just like mix it with whatever.
With
like
whatever, yeah.
Sprite. Stony or Sprite.
Yes, no, it was so dangerous.
40% Sprite.
Like, you can understand the country where there is no booze, but for however, like 20 rand, you can get a bottle of crackling or something. So why would you run the risk of killing yourself?
I don't know.
But on that, I've once drunk
free
ethanol.
Free versus 20 rand, is it still a different story?
Yeah. Time and effort, though. When I was in Israel in the kibbutz, we drank a whole bunch of weird stuff. I was 18, so obviously you're bulletproof back then. But we once went to the bottle store, and there's like, a supermarket. You go to a supermarket, there's maybe 8 aisles in the supermarket. Normal stuff like kitchen utensils, canned goods, food, whatever. There's an entire aisle just of like cheap vodka. So back then it was like 10 rand a liter.
Jeez.
Like 2000, like 10 rand, but like a legit liter of vodka.
So that's like 30 rand now of, or maybe 25 rand now. I don't know what inflation's
about. Well, 17 years. So who knows?
It's double at
could
least.
Could be, yeah.
I mean, but still cheap. I mean, if you're going to go buy a liter of vodka for 30, 40 bucks, it's still.
And boys being boys, okay, because now we had this great like bunch of friends that were on this place for like 3 months and we jolled hard like every night. It's the kibbutz. We had to work 6 hours of manual labor. We did not need to be smart for any of this. I was pulling trays out of ovens and trying not to burn myself. That was pretty much the extent of my skill set. And then one day we just saw this one bottle that had loads of Hebrew on it and it just said 96. So we thought, this looks adventurous. Let's get this. Turns out it was 96%. It wasn't even like a liquid. It was like a...
It wasn't a vintage.
No.
It wasn't even like a liquid. It was literally like a spirit of a dead person. It was just like... So we decided one night, after a variety of bad days that went wrong, that we would have to have 3 shots of this. And we all passed out properly, like did not know anything.
But were you already quite molded when you had the 3
well,
shots?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're always lining your stomach with it.
Was this a straw on top of a camel?
It wasn't our first drink that night, no, because you normally start with a few beers and you get into like whatever exotic fruit punch someone's made. Because, you know, there's always a theme party. But, yeah, we essentially drank ethanol. And I'm not proud to say this. I'm really not. But, you know, amongst friends, I'll open up.
on your topic of, like, being bulletproof at age 18, like, I'm 35, right? So I remember working at the magazine. We had a very liberal sort of vibe. You could arrive with a hangover, and it wasn't frowned upon as long as you did your work. Mm-hmm. But I used to play.
Rule.
And I started there. I was 21. And I used to play a drum and bass residency in Melville every Tuesday night. Go and MC there, and typically get home 2:30. And this was once a week. So every Wednesday, I would stroll in with my hangover, and I'd be like, "Geez, guys, you know, like last night was a particularly heavy one. Wow, I'm feeling super rough. Like I'm gonna have an extra cup of coffee. I'm gonna go down to Kathy's canteen. I'm gonna get a bacon and cheese. It's that level. So go like eat something extra. And like, an hour later, you're like, wow, that was a bad one, guys. Oh. Like, shoo, glad that's over. Now, like, I've got a jaw on tonight. Like, I've literally made certain I have nothing to do tomorrow. Nothing.
Because it's a right
at all. And I know, I'm like already thinking, like, oh, it's not going to be worth it. Like, it's over. I can't work with a hangover, even a small one, at all.
Yeah. It really does slow you down.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
The mighty are
gonna
fall.
I tell you what you're saying. I'm 35, right? Today we're going for this great lunch at Rockets. I'm going to be a mess. And I'll probably have like 4 drinks, maybe, if you push it.
Pushing the limits of 4 drinks.
Friday, 4 drinks.
Yeah, Ben's body really has betrayed him, though. The other day he was talking about how 2 beers messed him up. He said he felt like an old person.
Your body can only betray you if you trust it in the first place. That's what I've known better my whole life.
Morning, everybody.
GC. Oh, hey. Yeah. Look who's just walked in.
Sorry. You know how these things go.
Mm-hmm. Or don't go in the case of the freeway.
Exactly. How are we?
Bloody magical. It's Friday.
We're good. You know, we'd like a drink, seemingly.
Yeah. Oh, we've been talking about liquor.
Yeah.
You people are liquor pigs. You know,
it's Friday.
That's the word.
It's Friday,
for it.
Man. It's allowed.
So pigs are charming animals. They can be domesticated.
And they drink sweet.
If anyone's seen Babe, you'll know that they can save entire farms
they
with their industriousness.
They taste great when they're crispy.
Delicious.
As well. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, what's Amanda's plan for the weekend? Do we know yet?
No, not at the moment.
What are you an extra up to?
No, I'm a bit mad with extra.
Why?
Again?
No, she...
What happened?
Yesterday she made me go watch her new South African boyfriend play soccer in the freezing cold.
But we asked yesterday morning.
Which new one? Is this the guy
she's got an Australian one and then she's got one here.
Is this the fuck boy that she was talking about yesterday?
No.
Oh.
So she like insisted that we go to Italian club in Bedford View to watch soccer.
Okay, well that's all right. Yeah.
And it was just cold, and she just like if
was
we
this
didn't
last
go,
night.
Last night.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And she decided at like 10, we were all just chilling, like having hub and having wine, and then she was just like, can we go? And then we're like, no, girl, we don't want to go. And then she got all, like, sad, and then it all went quiet. Then we're like, seriously?
She didn't mention this guy yesterday. And yesterday, we thought she was into the other dude.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, she moves she fast. She doesn't waste time.
Him. She didn't not
She literally
him.
Did say that she's...
She did say that there was a guy, but they're not together because then... But the fuckboy isn't part of her triangle.
Do you want to explain that term to everybody? Because it sounds really rude, but it actually means a certain kind of guy.
Like what? The fuckboy?
Yeah, just explain what the word means. What is a fuckboy?
Well, like...
For those of us who don't know.
I understand it like they don't commit to anyone. They just go around fucking everyone.
Oh, nice.
And that's about it, yeah. They just don't commit. They have, like, no feelings. They're quite cold.
Yeah, so he wasn't part of Extra's game plan. Extra was into this other guy, and then Amanda's other cousin was kind of with the fuck boy, but then she cried about something, and then her other friend, who's really pretty, also likes the fuck boy.
Well done, Ben.
It's a curse.
Well, I mean, it sounds to me like Extra, you know, has got options. She's keeping her options open, which is good.
Yeah, well, who is this?
There's the guy who did the piercing. He sounds like he's in the mix as well.
There you go.
But, like, you won't believe it. As we got in the car and we left here, she was like, oh, that was nice. Everyone's really nice. So I'm like, yeah. And then she's like, is Gareth single? And I'm like, Extra.
She's moving into me.
Really at least you know, GC, if you follow that one up, it'll be nice and simple and uncomplicated.
Wow.
But I wanted to just ask Amanda, like, okay, it's I'm not one to judge, but you're upset with her because it was cold.
What?
And that can hardly be seen as her fault. But also you went out on like at night in winter in Joburg.
Yeah,
so
you
what
kind
were
of
you
expected
expecting?
That, yeah.
No, sure, but then like you know, we were all chilling together and she got all grumpy and sad and then wouldn't speak to us. So then eventually we were like, okay, we have to go to soccer.
Yeah, Amanda was happy. She was having a good time.
Yeah.
And then Extra had to go to this Italian
place. When we got to the soccer, she was like, oh, it's cold. And I'm like, oh, it's cold.
Let me guess. She was just wearing like a t-shirt, no bra.
She was, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Tiny shorts.
We can't judge her about the bra thing. She's got a freshly pierced nipple.
Mm.
Do you know what I love? UrbanDictionary.com has a top definition for fuck boy.
All right, let's hear it.
And it is that one 15-year-old boy you have on Facebook who posts selfies of himself pouting with more than one filter applied over the picture and gets way more likes than he deserves. Typically, fuckboys have gelled hair, think that it is acceptable for a boy to pout in photos, and frequently post selfies with their six-pack in full display.
Oh,
and
I
now
see.
You know, Yeah, they also post pictures of their Nikes on Instagram.
So what? What is that all about?
As the captions.
Jeez.
But it doesn't talk about their attitude towards promiscuity. I mean, that just sounds like your standard description of a dickhead.
That was a really nice...
A favorable definition. Yeah,
it was
sure.
really chilled and nice.
No, very good. All right, so what is everybody's plan for the weekend? I want to know. Let's start with, let's spin the wheel of convenience and let's see, shall we? When last we do that for fun? I wonder if I can even find the wheel of convenience here. It's been used so seldom we have to dust it out of the most hidden corners of the household here at cliffcentral.com. In fact, I think Jane hid it away the last time she was here.
Ironic that the wheel of convenience is so difficult to find.
No, not at all. It's the most inconvenient thing that has ever been made. Right, Mabali? You remember the wheel of convenience was so enormous that we had to stick it away in a cupboard at the SABC.
Yes.
And then when we left, we were the only people who remembered it was there.
Henceforth known as the wheel.
No, we got to call it what it is. The wheel of... It even has a song. Oh, my God, it's awful. All right, let's see if we can find the Wheel of Convenience. Here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, we've rolled it out. Go ahead.
The Wheel of Convenience. The Wheel of Convenience.
That's right. Okay. Here it is. Sia, you're up first.
Well, Sia's a bit anticlimactic, firstly by referring to himself in third person.
I noticed that. That's a very egotistical move by you.
Interesting social
Sia
choice.
Sia doesn't think it is. But secondly, I actually cancelled all my plans for this weekend because, A, it's now winter and I really don't feel like going out anymore. So
apparently,
I'm hoping.
Yeah, apparently this weekend is going to be freezing. So there's no reason to be outdoors.
No.
Like our poor friend Amanda just realized yesterday. Awful thing to do. All right, so Sia.
And you never look cute.
Sia's going to be so boring this weekend that we will have no stories of any magnitude on Monday.
Before you arrived, we were talking about being old and no longer bulletproof.
Oh, yeah.
And like Ben and I disclosed our age. We're both 35. And... Yeah. You are young enough to be our illegitimate children.
So you think I'm wasting my young years?
God, dude, guys, I mean, guys, can we stop here? Can we stop here and just remember what happened to Sierra recently? He's socially injured right now. He's not putting himself out there. Him and his nips, they're a bit sensitive right now.
Yeah.
More sensitive,
give
by
the
way,
man space.
Yeah. More sensitive nipples than Amanda, extra Amanda's cousin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Who had her nipples pierced.
Yeah. So let's not give Sia any harder time than he already has.
And my soul pierced.
All right. Let's spin the wheel and see who else is doing something interesting. Wheel of Convenience stops on Mabali Moloi. What do we got, Mabs?
I don't have any plans yet.
Oh, my God. This is going horribly wrong.
Hashtag opportunity.
Yeah, I don't.
Fine. Back to the wheel.
The wheel of convenience. The wheel of convenience.
The wheel of convenience. And to you, God Laws, what do you...
Early 2000s Usher.
You have some plans.
I'm so glad that you asked.
Yes, because you got a Facebook event to plug.
Yeah, exactly.
I got an invite to that yesterday.
You must pull in.
I ignored it.
Some friends of mine, some very good friends of mine, some great bands are putting on an event called FFS. God is back. Rumors next to Cresta. Fuzzy Gish, 13th Empire, Satanic Ducka Orgy, and Silver Black. Starts at 7, first band on at 8.
That's very cool. Are those all things you can buy at the bar, or are they entertainment?
They're things that will be at the bar, but you can't buy them so much as rent them for 60 Rand for a few hours.
Exciting. You going to go to that, Amanda?
I was thinking about it. Extra one or two, but it's really far. Like, could you imagine that Uber trip? Like, all the way from Edenville?
Not even fuckboys will take that.
No.
No. All right, back to Ben. It's your turn, Ben. Yes, I'm ready to spin the wheel of convenience this morning.
Yeah, I'm right here. Gareth, this evening I'm probably going to take a time lapse of the moon with my drone because the way it sets in my hood, because the moon's huge right now.
Yes, yeah,
the moon's
full not setting. Moon,
the
isn't
moon's
it?
Rising.
Nice.
The way the moon's rising right now, I've got a really great thing I want to film. And then Saturday, Daniel and I are going for a fancy lunch in like place where fancy things happen.
Very nice.
Like just driving for an hour and a bit.
It sounds like you have one hell of a weekend.
And then Sunday,
Ben's planned this Sunday out very well.
Sunday I've got work and there's lots of sport on.
This is Ben's song for the weekend.
I see a bad moon rising.
And I film it with my drone.
I see trouble on the way.
I'm going outside in the cold.
I see a bad way.
I'm a mental patient.
I see bad times today.
While everyone is warm inside.
Don't go out tonight.
Don't go out tonight.
Finally take your bag.
Unless your name is Ben Karpinski. That's him. That's what he's going to be doing this weekend. Okay, so Amanda, you don't have any set plans either. Am I wrong?
I just remembered that we're going to rugby tomorrow.
Ooh.
At Loftus.
Oh,
all right. Yeah. The test match. Where you've got about as much experience on the playing field as most of the guys playing for the box.
Oh, jeez. All right. That doesn't sound very good at all. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to our game of What Are You Doing This Weekend? Featuring the Wheel of Convenience. Yeah.
What are you doing?
I have no plans whatsoever.
That's my buddy's answer. You got to get a fresh answer.
Okay, well, tonight I'm going to be staying indoors where it is warm.
Okay.
Saying then, that, admitting then, that is
and
like...
Then, yeah, tomorrow and Sunday, the diary is open like Caitlin when she went for the operation.
Oh. Question. Yeah. And you guys, you know, you're slightly older and wiser and more experienced.
Just older.
Just old.
Never mind, then I'll save my question.
Zero wisdom here.
Go on, Sia, let's have your question.
Here's the thing. How do you now... Because I often feel bad with plans. Mm-hmm. They're like, what are you up to? I'm like, nothing. But I really just want to stay at home. Right. What do you say?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I've thought about this for a long time. There were friends of mine who were going to go away for the weekend, and I might have gone with them.
Mm.
Because I've sort of adopted your year of yes as being an important way to do things. But I said no. And I'll tell you why.
I'm off to saying no.
I'm off to Germany next week, and I thought it would be a nice weekend to just spend at home and chill since I'm going to be having a good time in Germany.
Yeah.
I thought I need to build up some resistance. Plus, I do not want to get sick. I've thought about this very long and hard. Being 1,000 years old, I do not need a cold or flu at this point. Mm. It would ruin and seriously prejudice the beginning of my week next week.
My advice would be that honesty is the best policy. Just tell them that, listen, I don't want to do anything this weekend. Because, you know, when you start lying to people, you might get caught up in the lies,
But the upshot is that you can then decide, because you've said, I don't want to do anything. And if something really great comes up, you don't have to feel bad about breaking an arrangement that you didn't want to go to in the first place. You think, oh, I don't feel like those people now.
I would never get away with it. My friends would be mortally offended. But if you do, because I agree with you in general that honesty is the best policy, but when forced to fabricate the truth, I'm not feeling well. Get out of jail free card.
That works pretty well. Mm. I don't like to use that one too often, because what happens to me when I lie about not feeling well is the very next day I start feeling really bad.
And your friends start getting concerned that you're like dying of something because you're perpetually not feeling well.
It's got to be cancer.
Oh, no. I have those annoying friends who just land up at my place. Like, so...
Well, you shouldn't have given your address.
Yeah, let's just be honest.
Rookie error. Yeah. So yesterday I got a message from Tamron Jardine on Facebook.
Ooh.
In the interest of being open about this. She says, thank you so much for clearing it up with me about our supposed beef. I'm thinking it's maybe a scorned ex or a friend in the industry who's trying to cause drama.
Ex of whom? Hers or yours?
Well, it must be hers. She says, also, when are you coming for a Pilates class and bring the team, she says.
Let's do it. Year of yes.
You know what? I've always wanted to try Pilates using those machines that look like contraptions from the medieval times. Oh, yeah. Because apparently that
reminds
stuff...
you of your basement. Yeah, we get you.
That too.
What do they look like?
You'd have to Google image this stuff. Let me see.
It really is quite something.
This is when good Googling can go bad.
Yeah,
just saying.
I don't know how else I'm going to describe it.
Pilates human
manipulation machine.
All right. Well,
flexibility machine.
While my buddy's gathering her thoughts on that front, and we can tell there are a lot of those thoughts, let's get into the news, which is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Don't forget, it's Friday today, but Monday is your day at Colcacchio's. That's right. On a Monday, you can buy one, get the other one on them. That's right. From the 1st of May until the 31st of August, any gourmet pizza, you will get a second gourmet or classic pizza free. Available nationwide at all Colcacchio Pizzerias and Mio Colcacchio Pizzerias. The less expensive pizza is free. In-store or takeaway only. No delivery. T's and C's apply. Get along to your nearest Colcacchio Pizzeria. Let's get into it, Mabs, shall we? Are you ready for the news? Here she is, in all her glory.
Oh, my God.
Gord Laws on the trombone.
Oh, look at you, Gord. Well, next week, the Knysna Municipal Council are going to be deliberating on whether or not to declare the community a disaster area. Jeez. This is something that they have to ask government to declare, apparently, if that is the case. Officials met with Helen Ziller yesterday to discuss the wildfire that has basically decimated an entire area. The runaway fires claimed the lives of four people and left as many as 10,000 people displaced. Oh, where, where do all these people go?
Listen,
exactly.
What happens?
This is some of the saddest stuff I've seen. And on social media, people posting pictures of burnt out houses. And obviously, the larger part of our sadness should be devoted to those four people who lost their lives. But I can't imagine very many things worse than having to leave everything that you hold dear and watch it burn. Oh, it must be so heart-destroying.
Dude, I told you about my lady's housemate's mom.
Yeah.
To like literally be evacuated to a tiny island by
good
boat.
Lord.
They found, thankfully, though, that just her patio and the outside decking area had burned down, the actual stuff, the house and the stuff in it. But like, Luella, my lady's housemate, and Daniela are off there this weekend to literally go and help with the animals. And there's real need.
Yeah.
There's places easily accept. You can find them on Facebook. You can just, if you post a Facebook question just saying, hey, who knows a link to where to go? There'll be links. People will post them. You can donate money. There's a Pick and Pay there where you can like buy stuff online and they will deliver it in Knysna. So there's really like, it's a, if you've got 50 Rand, 500 Rand or 5,000 Rand, this is a time to use it seriously.
Yeah, it's oh wow.
Now on the admin side of things, how busy are insurance companies going to be with claims?
Well, I mean, you imagine 10,000 or more people displaced. That means 10,000 or more houses that may have been damaged, burnt down, completely destroyed. We're talking hundreds of millions of rands, if not billions of rands.
And how does that affect the economy in general?
Horrendously. It's money that is in the banks at the moment that will not be in the banks in a couple of weeks' time. It's going to be out there doing repairs. Look, in some ways it will stimulate in those areas. Lots and lots of construction and rebuilding. But of course, a lot of insurance people won't pay out. What if your policies weren't up to date? You know? First thing you do when you see those flames is you call your insurance and you go, am I up to date? And you better hope like hell they come back to you and go,
And they will all have been instructed clearly, like, find any way, find any way to not have these folk up to date.
But that is such a cheek on their part because you're still paying a premium every month. I mean, that should be the signal that you're up to date. You're paying them every month.
Yeah.
But they send you that big PDF like once every 6 months, like here's what we've changed about the agreement you and I signed.
And if you don't check it, you could be in massive trouble.
But I mean, some of them might do right, so let's hope.
Yeah.
All right. And then on the extreme opposite side of things, back in 2015, the Guptas wanted to make extensions to their home in Saxonwold, right?
Yeah.
But apparently one of the neighbors at the time had complained about the alleged extensions being illegal. So in new leaked Gupta emails, it has been revealed that the family's representative, good old Pieter van der Merwe, yo, this guy has been busy though, hey?
Yes, and how?
He apparently then negotiated with the neighbor, whose name is Martin Lewison, on behalf of the Guptas to purchase the property. Lewison was offered 6 million rand. Guys, I'm sorry. I am at least going home and thinking about that offer for the weekend. Sure. I'm at least going to think about it.
Yeah.
6 million rand for the property, which is directly adjacent to the Guptas' huge Johannesburg compound. Now, Lewison was part of a group of residents who accused the Guptas of breaking council laws by unlawfully building on their 7 Saxonwold Drive property. The sale collapsed after the Guptas threw van der Merwe objected to Lewison's proposal that his lawyers facilitate the transfer.
Jeez.
Accusing the Guptas of breaking council law is like accusing Bill Cosby of checking out Red Tube.
I mean, don't they have a house as big as a hotel that takes up almost all of the property? I mean, haven't they already broken every council rule?
Hmm.
That's what I understand.
Council rules is baby steps, dude. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's when how they can, warm up. That's yeah. how, that's where they, just before the Pilates class where you like grab your foot and pull it behind your bum. And that's fart, them breaking yeah. council laws. Yeah.
That's a good point. Well put. Jeez. What's going on with the US, UK elections?
Corbyn won.
No, he couldn't have.
He did.
Bullshit.
Yep.
Not possible.
Labour, Corbyn.
No. Conservative 302, Labour 256 is what I'm seeing.
Well, then why was he high-fiving some woman's boobs earlier?
Oh.
Some woman's
maybe
boobs.
He's a, maybe he's it's one of those molesters, a man who interferes
no,
with...
No, no, I saw on Twitter the way here that...
Bit of a
that,
jump to conclusions?
That, that he was celebrating a win or whatever, and then he had this awkward moment where he tried to high-five this woman, but just literally, she did not put the hand up and went straight on the boob.
Maybe that's because he didn't really win and she wasn't prepared for a high five. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm of the heartfelt and stern opinion that white people should never high five. It's just, it always goes badly. It no. never works out well. And then my homies, my white homies will be like, you must look at the elbow. I'm like, if you need a rule, if you need a method, then you must know.
Then it's not meant to happen.
It always looks awful.
Right. Yeah, look.
Okay, Labour's making gains. That's why Corbyn's making advances.
Yeah, they're saying that the polls suggest the Conservatives will be the largest party.
But they won't get the big majority.
Well, it's also saying that results are being declared all over the place, so it's by no means a closed, finished business.
Mm-mm.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that for the rest of the morning. All right, Mubs, back to you.
No, we're done.
Oh, back to Ben. That's what I said. Wasn't that what I said?
Sure,
I said back to Ben.
Sure, that's what you said.
Of course. There he is.
Right, what pisses people most off on Twitter? Racial politics aside in the Guptas. Past that, what pisses most people off on Twitter?
Gender pronouns.
Sports.
A bit niche. It's on the move. On the move.
Sports teams. My team is better than yours. Blah, blah, blah.
The announcement of the Springbok team.
Oh, yeah.
Gets a huge amount of noise. I mean,
people, you'll meet someone at the bar. They seem very, very nice and quite like chilled and balanced. And then the Bok team comes out and you will see pitchforks and you will see teeth and you will just see hair pulling. Like, it's just a mess. It's like Black Friday, but everyone's given a gun. So that's what basically what happens. Alistair Garcia has named four debutants, three of which are playing in the back.
Is this why you said to Amanda that she has more experience than some of those players on the field?
Well, Gareth, yeah, the back three. You know, because rugby is about units, right? Yeah. So the back three operate hopefully as a unit. You get the centre pairings, get your fluff and scrum half as a unit, and the loose trio as a unit, okay? The back three have never played test rugby before, which isn't always just the worst thing completely. Yes, yeah?
Hi, I have a question.
Yes, sure.
You use the word debutant?
Yes.
In what context is that a sporting
term? Making their debut.
They're debuting.
Oh,
so their first time.
Debutant. Like,
well, look, I mean, they're not going to be paraded out. Never mind. And serenaded.
See, this is why. We'll
although
do
it is Loftus.
Ask a question, yep. Get the answer.
Totally.
I learn something new.
You raise your hand whenever you want. So, Andries Kutsia, Raymond Rule, and Courtnell Skorsan, they'll be making their Bok debuts, which isn't a terrible thing. Andries Kutsia has been the fullback for the Lions, very good player, form player, should be there. Raymond Rule can't tackle, though, unfortunately, and the last time I checked, that's the only where you can stop someone from running with the ball. Courtnell Skorsan, also a huge form player from the Lions, scored loads of tries, should be there. But it also just means that there's no one else. Like, so people have a go at Skorsan, and I'm not here to support him because I don't get paid to do so because that's just not what I do. But this guy has so little to work with right now, okay? Major, major injuries. There's very limited form. Lots of guys have gone overseas. This guy is picking what he can. Plus, let's not forget, 2019, there needs to be 50% non-white or players of color, however you want to use that stupid terms. It has to be 50% representation, right? So he has got 8 out of 23 players of color. And that's low. That's low. This time last year, he had 9 players of color. So when you look at it and go, oh, why the hell is Opa Mohoja playing and Sia Khaleesi because they're both essentially number 7s? It's like, well, where's the guy going to get all representation from? It's a tough, tough call. And I'm not saying this team is the best that we've got right now. It's far from it. But jeepers, you realize what a difficult task this guy has. It's so difficult. So everyone's just basically nitpicking this team. And I put a thing out on Twitter from a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are people? And the average was about 3.5 was the optimism for this team.
Wow, that's not very good at all.
Yeah, so to run you through it, Andrews Kutsia is the fullback, Raymond Rule will be the right wing, Jesse Creel and Johan Serfontein is your center pairing, because there literally is no other centers. There's no other centers. There really isn't. Courtney Skosana at number 11. Elton Junchies, who is the only fly half. He is the only fly half. Let's not mess around with these terms. Ross Crenier is the scrum off because he plays with Elton at the Lions. And Warren Whiteley is number 8, obviously, because he's the captain. Opa Mahojo and Stuart Kalisi, they make up the rest of the loose trio. Franco Mostert, who is probably the best number 5 in the country right now, on form, which is great. He's there. And then Ibn Esabeth will play number 4. And then Frans Mulhuber, who can't get a game at the Stormers. I don't know how he's there. Anyway, and then Malcolm Marks and the Lions, and Tendai the Beast and Tawarira.
Okay.
So that's the team. Francois Hochart and Frans Steen, the big international sort of prospects from their play overseas, they're on the bench. So there's a decent bench. Kuni Oosthuizen, who is not a tight-headed prop, continues to be picked as a tight-headed prop. That's odd. It's like asking me to do finance every day. I could probably try, but I'm not very good at it. And, the French team, just French names. So that game will take place Saturday, 5 o'clock. Big one though for the weekend. If you don't like rugby, it's Bafana Bafana looking to stretch their 17 match unbeaten record. They are playing against Nigeria with a hope of qualifying for AFCON 2019. All a big thing in this, right? Because Bafana, people give them so much crap, but they haven't lost in such a long time. A 17 match unbeaten streak.
That is impressive, and I don't think we hear those kinds of stories so much because we don't really pay attention to Bafana Bafana. That's the sad reality.
Unless they're doing badly, then it's like
then suddenly everybody knows.
Suddenly they're whipping boys. Yeah,
no, that's a good point.
Sticking with the football, Saudi Arabia are a bunch of dicks, but we've always kind of known this. Yesterday they played against Australia in an international friendly, and while Australia observed a minute's silence because two of their Sheilas were killed in the latest terror attack in London.
Mm-hmm.
Saudi Arabians, well, they just thought they'd kick the ball around, run around, stretch a bit. They couldn't give a toss. They really couldn't give a toss. So the Saudi Arabia Football Association has apologized, saying they deeply regret the actions of the players for not observing this, blah, blah, blah. Then there's other talk about the fact that, you know, it's not in their culture to observe a minute's silence. So one Australian woman says, well, screw this. If I go to Saudi Arabia, I've got to wear a headscarf. They can't even stand still for a minute. That's absolute bullshit, which it really is. What a lot of crock of shit.
Not only that, but they're not willing to stand for a moment of silence against terrorism.
That's another point, Gareth.
Which shows you which country in the world actually doesn't mind a little bit of terrorism.
So they have no regard for this. It's quite rich because they've just all turned on Qatar about being terrorists. But these guys can't even extend past their so-called culture, which, let's be honest, that's a stretch anyway. Their so-called culture doesn't permit them to have a minute of respect. Forget culture. This is respect. Respect doesn't know anything about religion or creed or cultures, whatever. This is just being less shit than you are normally in ordinary life. And the irony about this is, though, so while these guys clamor for excuses while they're acting like such dicks, they have observed a minute silence before, or something or other, when they played against Barcelona in this one cup. Barcelona had a moment of silence, and so did they. So they can behave when people who are around them worth behaving for.
And moments of silence are just like a well-trodden tradition in football. I mean, you can go to your hated enemy club, you know, Real Madrid, Barcelona, for example. If somebody important on either side has passed away, they will sit and observe the moment of silence.
It's just basic respect.
Not done to disregard that.
In other rugby news, the Baby Box, they absolutely hammered Argentina yesterday. So while everyone was fighting over the Box team announcement, how everyone thought this team was so shit, the Baby Box beat Argentina 72-14.
Wow.
That is huge, right? That is a massive result for these guys.
I saw a little bit of that on TV.
So they've powered out of the group stages there. 72-14, that is an absolute massacre. I mean, there should be a minute silence for Argentina in the next match, whether Saudi Arabia will observe that. Right. Well, I don't think so. In Super Rugby today, there is still a match. Yep, if you're on Super Brew and you forgot about this, thinking you can go into the break, there's still one more game to make a pick for. It is Hurricanes versus the Chiefs. Now, the British and Irish Lions play the Crusaders tomorrow, 9:35. But today, 9th of June, 9:35, Hurricanes take on the Chiefs. Big game this, because the Hurricanes still have some aspirations in the playoffs, as do the Chiefs. So look out for that one. Should be full-strength teams as well. Cricket news, well, can you believe it? Sri Lanka beat India in what was going to be one of the greatest chases ever, because Sri Lanka are crap, right? I mean, we hammered them the other day.
Of course.
India, rather good. But they did it. Sri Lanka, they won by 7 wickets with 8 balls to spare. and they were chasing a score that you'd never see them post. They were, India set 321, okay, for 6 wickets in the 50 overs. Darwin got a big 100 there, and Dhoni got some runs as well, with Sharma as well in the runs. And then they lost Dick Weller quickly, did Sri Lanka, and Dick Weller's normally who the spearhead that they use to get on big targets. But Gunnar Talaika, 76, Mendes, 89.
Gunnar Talaika.
Gunnar Talaika.
That's his name.
Gunnar Talaika. A guy called Dick is the spearhead. I'm sorry. This is beautiful.
Dick Weller. But he really is though. I mean, he puts bat to ball very quickly. And then Angelo Matthews back from injury. That is his real name. And they steered them home. 8 balls to spare. They scored 322. This now means, Gareth, that it's a complete shootout for the semi-finals this weekend for the last remaining games. India, SA. SA has to win that to make it through the semi-finals. Pakistan, Sri Lanka. Whoever wins that one goes through. Suddenly the Champions Trophy is exciting again. If the rain would just piss off, this is going to be a great tournament from here on in. So look out for that.
Ben, if I understand correctly, there's a match where the Proteas have a reasonable prospect of qualifying and possibly winning the tournament. But this particular match is a must win.
Yeah, those are two words that make them really shit in their pants, really. Because must win, high pressure.
That's what we thrive on, right?
That's what we crumble on, yeah. It doesn't look like Zlatan Ibrahimovic is going to be getting a new contract at Man United. Well, I wouldn't either. The guy's had a horrific knee injury. He's the same age as Gordon and I. I wouldn't put money into him. Besides,
He did rule, though, last season, and he's a monster. I mean, if anyone can recover.
Massive presence, no doubt, but I think his time is done, as is the sport for today.
Unless he goes to Liverpool and helps them win their first title this century.
All right, let's go to Amanda. She has some very important information. Are you ready? Amanda, you can go ahead.
Okay, guys, somebody just called. She lives outside of Nasna.
Yes.
But she went to help. It's actually really sad.
She wants to remain anonymous.
She wants to remain anonymous.
And she gave you a message.
She gave me a message to relay.
Yes.
She says that there's a thing going around that there's 10,000 people displaced.
Yes.
She says there's no one displaced. She said she went there yesterday with a bucky load full of her stuff from her own house and her friend's stuff, food, blankets, everything. She says there's no people. She says no one's displaced. She says there are no victims huddling up in the town hall, like it's being said. Like she
said, okay.
No one's in the town hall. She says she's not saying it's a scam, but she says she wants to know where the people are. She went and asked someone, and no one could tell her. She went to all the drop offs, and no one could tell her.
Wow.
So then she said to them, she has all this stuff. And apparently there's so much stuff from people that the stuff is actually on the streets. No one's there, she said.
No one is claiming this stuff so that they can survive because there's no one running for shelter trying to find somewhere to live. In other words,
she said that...
they might be with friends or family or something like that.
Yeah, no, and she says that she wants... Like, she asked somebody who's telling everyone about this and, like, who's saying that all these people... The lady had no idea. Then she eventually said, well, I've got a bucky full load. Like, what do I do with it? And they told them to drop it off at the municipality.
That does sound a little bit odd.
Yes.
But who knows? It's ours not the reason why we're not there. We're not on the ground. And certainly this is the information we're just getting from one of our listeners.
So she said she didn't know which media place to contact, but she just wants people to know, like, that.
Well, she's come to the right place.
But also look out for those scam accounts saying deposit here for benefit. Because people are, I mean, there's always criminals around these things. They love this.
They don't care how many people's actual houses have burnt down. Anyway, thank you, Amanda. There's a little bit of an update from someone anonymous in Nisner who says they can't find any of these displaced people. And, you know, 10,000 people, that would make a dent. You'd notice them. They'd be somewhere. Let's go to Anthea, see what's going on in the fight. Financial news.
He works hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right. She works hard for the money.
Anthea, good morning. I've told you you should trust me when it comes to these things. I saw you post something on Twitter just now about the UK elections. Don't worry about it. It's under control.
It's not under control, though, is it?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. You want to know the figures at the moment?
I know the figures because I can see them live on Bloomberg. And
all
you're
right.
going to say it?
Well, the Conservatives, 302 out of the required 326 seats, right?
Mm-hmm.
Labour have 256, which means they've gained 30 so far. Scottish National Party are down. Lib Dems are up by 5, and others are down by 4.
And the Conservatives are down by 12, and it's officially a hung parliament.
Yes, but there's still some results coming in.
So the last I saw was Conservatives have 304 seats, and they are only 21 votes, and they need 326 for a majority.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they won all of them, they would be one seat short of a majority.
All right, so what does that mean?
Well, I tell you what, the pound is going absolutely crazy. It's all over the place. It was 129.56 against the dollar yesterday. Then it hit 127.05. It's back to 127.74. No, like now nobody knows. I think it's probably a 50-50 chance that Theresa May will have to step down. And, of course, Brexit negotiations are now going to take a back seat. I think they might even have to ask for a delay in Brexit negotiations, and who knows what happens from here. Maybe it's a softer Brexit. Maybe Theresa May does a deal with somebody and they still power ahead with it. It's all up in the air again, but I tell you what, she got this one horribly wrong.
Sure. All right, 305 seats, just in. 305 seats to the Conservatives, still 21 missing from their numbers.
Yep, there you go.
They want to win. All right, so what does this do to us?
So the rand seems to be quite a bit stronger this morning. Suddenly, in the last 5 minutes or so, it's just done a sudden step change. And honestly, I cannot tell you how this is going to play out. You know, the two big counters we always watch when anything happens in the UK are Brait and Capital and Counties. And Brait has been bleeding out in the last couple of days, while Capital and Counties has kind of had a little bounce and then backwards and forwards. It's back to volatility again for us. And, you know, I'm not sure we need this. We've had an awful week on the stock market. Again, yesterday, the market was down about 0.25%. We got really hard hit in the morning. We tried to make a comeback in the afternoon, but kind of ran out of steam. I think at the moment, it feels like when investors decide they want out of South African shares, the selling is almost indiscriminate. I mean, so even Telkom, we spoke about them a couple of days ago, Monday, I think, Tuesday, they had really good results the other day. On the day that their results were out, the share was up 8%. But in the last 3 days, the share has lost 15%. It was down 4% again yesterday. And then, of course, you can imagine, kind of with a recession and all the bad news, local banks and retailers still suffering. Pick and Pay was down 3% yesterday. Woolworths, Shoprite, both 2.5% down. And I think just to add fuel to the fire, there's a lot of talk at the moment that Moody's will make their announcement later today. So no doubt, one notch downgrade has already been priced in. But because we're now in recession, I think there's a real chance that we could get downgraded 2 notches by them and straight into junk status.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. If that happens, the rand's totally going to blow out. There's no doubt. I can't imagine that the rand will stay so strong, which has been lately, actually.
Yeah.
So I think,
Oh, that's fantastic. Just ahead of the weekend, if you're in Cape Town and you've been flooded, you're in Eisen and your house is burnt down, and you also get the good news about the rand. Jesus.
There's a bit of good news. There's a little bit of good news. I mean, the rand has been relatively strong up until now. And crude oil is now well below $50 a barrel. It's like $48.11 last time I checked.
Yeah.
And so that could mean some light relief on the inflation front. You know, that's good for inflation. It gives us consumers a bit of breathing space.
All right.
Not great for the Sasol share price. That was down 3% yesterday. But for the average consumer, I think we'll take it if it comes.
All right. What else have we got?
Just last thing. Yesterday, Bidvest put out an operational update. Nothing new, really. The share was down 3.5%. But same story. Markets just hate hearing news from CEOs about how difficult the current economic climate is. We know it. But when Lindsay Ross stood up yesterday and said, things are really difficult. The share just started plummeting. And I think they said, he said, it's a major concern that they're struggling to conclude government contracts at the moment as well. So, like, really, everything feels like it's grinding to a halt at the moment. BitCorp, of course, which is the business they spun out last year and mostly operates offshore, was up over 1% yesterday. So you can see, you know, just all the local shares taking a beating. And the shares that get their revenue from offshore, not flying because the rand's so strong, but at least kind of holding their own.
All right, you haven't made me feel much better at all.
If I tell you that global markets look pretty green this morning, does that help?
Well, if it translates to our market turning green, that'll be nice. A couple of days of red have really spoiled my whole appetite.
Fingers crossed then.
All right. Thanks, Anthea.
Pleasure. Have a good weekend, guys.
Thank you, Anthea Gardner, everybody. The Money Shot. You can get it every single morning, Monday to Friday, between 6:30 and 7. All right. I'm going to let Gord Laws tell us what song he wants to hear more than anything else. He's been hanging out with us for the week, and I thought, what the hell? Let the guy have a chance to decide what we should listen to.
I've had the best time,
too,
guys.
Heavy, huh? We're not going to go heavy. It's
no.
Morning.
I actually thought about this on the way in. I'm like, I'm going to ask Gareth. I'm going to ask Gareth to play Jump Around by House of Pain because it feels like that kind of weekend.
I love it.
I've had the best week. I want to thank you guys and everybody that listened because it's been the best fun hanging out with you dudes.
Well, it's always good to have you. Don't get too emotional. We'll see ya.
Okay,
it's time for you to get into the weekend. Are you ready? CliffCentral.com. Don't go anywhere this Friday. You want the more
Jump Around, yo. Jump
this
around.
Is Jump Around. Don't you think so?
No.
Listen to this.
Oh, that's Jump Around.
Yeah, that's the same song.
That's the correct intro.
You don't start it there.
I'm gonna let you be the professional on that one. CliffCentral.com.